Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Daniel Bixler. Daniel is the CEO of Humboldt Hot Sauce, and you guys make great hot sauce.
That's right. Cal Ferris and I are co-owners, and we have some partners that own Stream Guys and a guy, Brian, as well. There's six of us owners altogether at this point.
Okay. And how did you guys meet and get together and decide to get into the hot sauce business?
Well, Cal Ferris and I lived in Arcata with a friend named Lauren down on Alliance Road in the late 80s. And, I actually worked here at KHSU and, you know, we went to school and so forth and became really great friends, played music and so forth, and then went on with our lives. Cal ended up moving up to Portland and working as a chef up there. When he was down here, he was going to CR at the culinary classes. And then years later, you know, in the 2000s, you know, I came back in 2003 and I was working at the county and I, you know, it was the time when HTMLs were kind of popular. Like people would like get, you know, www.bankofamerica and get money for it, you know, or whatever. And so I was kind of bored one afternoon at work and I was just playing with different HTMLs. And I thought of the term Humboldt hot sauce. And I was like, oh, someone's got that. Because I liked hot sauces at the time and nobody had it. So I bought it on the spot. And I went back to my friend Chris and my roommates and was like, hey, you guys, I just bought this HTML. You know, let's start a business, Humboldt hot sauce. It'll be awesome. And they were like, yeah, they were so into it. And then days and weeks and months went by and nobody did anything. And I was just like, what is going on? We're supposed to make some hot sauces. And I kind of forgot about it, to be quite honest with you. And about a year later or so, I went up to see Cal up in Portland and had Thanksgiving. And we were hanging out playing music and just kind of chilling after dinner. And we started talking about our lives or complaining about our lives. And I mentioned that I came up with that name and bought the HTML. And he's like, dude, don't you remember I make this hot sauce? Let's like get together. We really had a chocolate and peanut butter moment, so to speak, you know, and that's when we decided to do it.
What a great story and great friendships that kind of come back around again. And
absolutely.
The ideas do as well. Now, did you have a food background at all? Did you have interest in food?
I love food. You know, in high school, I took gourmet cooking. You know, I grew up in a house with a single mom. So at a young age, I had to cook on my own a little bit and with my brothers. And I definitely love different cultural foods. And I love to travel. I love trying new things. You know, I'm a pretty outgoing guy. And so, yeah, you know, I remember in high school making souffles and doing different things like that. Cal's really the, artisan with cuisine and so forth. I'm more the business management guy, but I love food and I love good spicy food for sure.
Now, how do you guys develop new recipes? Does it kind of come about as an idea or do you just start mixing flavors in the kitchen?
You know, Cal is one of the reasons I went into business with him is because he's a very open-minded, sensitive guy. Even though he's got a tough exterior, he is very philosophical and introspective. And we sit and talk about all kinds of ideas and names and flavors and so forth like that on a regular basis. We're basically talking every day. So, you know, we got a couple new sauces and the way they came about, like Cafe Nooner asked us to develop a sauce and gave a, you know, idea of what they wanted. They wanted a chipotle. So Cal and I sat and Cal has the recipe idea. So he came up with some stuff and then we'll sit and taste it and talk about it. You know, he's like, I want something a little bit hotter. You know, we went to a couple expos or trade shows down in, you know, Arizona or New Mexico and Texas. And, you know, there's some real hot stuff out there. And our first initial line of three sauces is, you know, I always say it's great flavor, good heat.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think for me, hot sauces, I mean, it can blow your head off, but if it doesn't taste good as it's doing that, it's just not worth eating, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's supposed to accentuate your meal. And really, when we first started, Cal and I talked about that, and he was right there saying, look, you know, I love hot, but let's do something that, you know, everybody can enjoy, will accentuate your meal.
When did you actually first put out your first bottle of hot sauce?
Well, you know, that's funny. It was March of 2010. The company started in 2009, but in the March of 2010, my first daughter was born, or, you know, my daughter Lucy was born. my mother-in-law died, and we produced our first 65 cases of hot sauce, all within 10 days.
Wow.
It was a crazy, intense. I should look at the astrology back for March of 2010, because it was an intense one. But it came off really good, and you know, the co-op picked it up, and Wildberries picked it up, and a lot of local places. And we made a commitment when we first made that batch, before we made it. We said, you know, for the first year, we're only going to sell in Humboldt County, because it's our home. You know, this is where we love, so.
But now you've run into some difficulties with trying to pack your product in Humboldt County.
I have. You know, when we first got together, I started doing research and trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to do this? So we got a space at the Food Works, and we were thinking about, you know, renting a kitchen there. And a couple things happened. One of the things was I went down to Bella Basket, a gentleman who just passed away, God bless his soul, Mark Sanchez, and I were sitting there talking, and some barbecue sauces were on the shelf popping their lids. I was like, what's going on? He's all mad because he had to return like 6 cases and he needed to sell it and people wanted it. And he was telling me that basically it was made at the Food Works and something went wrong with it, you know, and it was popping its lid. So I researched it, and it's basically kind of fermenting, I think, you know. It's the yeast and the sugars having too good a time together, you know. And, you know, starting a company, I was just, that really put fear in my soul. I was like, that's the one thing I don't want to do is, A, put out a bad product that people won't like or it will hurt them, and B, as a business manager going, I'm going to return it, you know, bring it back. You know, how much does that cost? So I did some research. I talked to the FDA guy from Sacramento that comes up 4 or 5 times a year. I also called a few local companies like Larapins and said, what do you guys do? How do you make this happen? And I just understood by talking to them that the real way to go, not only for safety reason, because we didn't have the money and equipment to spend a couple $100,000 with something that's, you know, pH controlled, is to like use a co-packing facility. Like Larapins uses one in Petaluma, I believe. You know, I mean, we're really striving to make things more locally, like our cafe, Cafe Nooner sauce we make there at the cafe, you know. Mm-hmm. But so that's where we went to a co-packing facility.
Right, because you don't have a facility here that you can control that pH issue and pasteurize the item, make it safe.
That's exactly right. I mean, it would be about we could make it here, but then get it into the bottle and then keeping it at a certain temperature while it's going in the bottle. And then if you can't do that, you'd have to repasteurize the bottle. So you'd be reheating it twice and then your capacity issues would happen. Like we just, you know, sent 200 cases to Fred Meyer's and that would take us, you know, weeks and weeks. Plus, you know, there's the whole FDA issue that once you make it, because it's pH controlled, you have to have it physically inspected every batch you make. So we'd have to ship it to Sacramento, 1 bottle or 4 bottles or 6 or whatever they want. And then 4 to 6 weeks later, depending on how busy they are, they would approve it and say we could actually get
it. Meanwhile, it's your product sitting on your shelf waiting for the FDA to get around to it. And
And it's more about the business saying, you know, like, look, you know, we need sauce, you know.
So one of the challenges that you face, too, is because you're using so many chilies in your product is trying to source locally. I mean, it's a challenge for a lot of businesses that use that make a large volume of product.
Well, it's a little easier when we do the Cafe Nooner sauce, you know, because Cal can physically go to the farmer's market and, you know, actually buy stuff like that. When it comes to a co-packer, it's a bureaucracy like any other thing. So, you know, they're great. It's called Sonoma Gourmet. I could tell you the story about them. They're real nice. An old Belgian guy owns it. Real nice guy. But we got to go through their system, you know. In order to get local stuff to go through them, they have to become a vendor. Funny story about our peppers. Last September, they were out picking peppers for our hot sauce, and so they didn't have any available immediately. So I called our local farmer association, and I said, can you help me find 350 pounds of habanero peppers? They said, we'll call you in a couple hours. And we're really into, you know, using more local stuff. And they called me about 2 hours later, and they referred me to the same farm I buy them from in Sonoma.
Oh.
And So I was like, okay, well, at least I know that, like, I'm as close as I can get. I feel like, you know, I know that local is important, and we really strive, we will continue to strive as we grow to be more local. But we're in the same biosphere or the, you know, biozone, you know, I mean, it's not very far. So I feel a little more comforted by that right off the bat.
Well, if you're a farmer and you're listening, get in touch with Daniel and start growing some peppers. But in the meantime, go out and try some of Humboldt hot sauce. And this is Jennifer Bell, and it's been a pleasure talking with Daniel Bixler from Humboldt Hot Sauce. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Right. crepes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.